You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
It's me.
You gotta say your name.
It's me, your boy.
What's your name?
Yeah, boy.
You can't do bits at the top.
I won't.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath. Who the fuck are you?
You think you can give me a clean take there?
No, I'm leaving this in. Hi, I'm Joe Heath. What?
Well, now that sounded exasperated.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I won't say it until you give a good take.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
Okay, now who's doing bits?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm allowed to do bits.
Oh.
I'm good at them. All right, fine. You ready?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Joe Heath.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
All right. Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon,
where we don't do bits.
We're going to be talking about the Ninth Doctor era, portrayed by Christopher Eccleston. Consists of one season, we only got one season, 10 stories, 13 episodes that aired from March 26th, 2005 to June 18th, 2005. And we watched it May 28th, 2023 to October 6th, 2023. That's how long it took us to do it.
Tremendously long stretch of time to watch 13 episodes.
And we watched them in 10 increments. For a little over 4 months, close to five.
What were we doing?
I don't know.
What took so long?
Life. Life?
True facts!
So first off, before we start talking about this era, I do want to say there's something we didn't really talk about in the finale that I feel like maybe we should have mentioned.
What's that?
The kiss. We didn't mention it once.
Not even one time?
I think it might have been mentioned in the summary, and that was it.
Wow.
How did you feel about that kiss? That little smoocheroony.
Mm.
Did you like it? Did you dislike it? How do you feel about romance with your doctor?
I have all the normal and correct feelings about romance.
The thing is, even in that scene, there is like a non-romance way to read it. It's just sucking up that energy, right?
I just wish you hadn't phrased it that way.
Slurping down that bad wolf energy.
Hmm.
That's what he did.
Okay.
Sucked it
right
out.
How did you feel about the kiss?
Apparently not much. I completely failed to mention it.
That's the thing you're asking me, and I'm like, I feel like I didn't bring it up because I didn't have any feelings about it.
At the time, I didn't really think anything about it when we watched it like the first time. This time, I didn't think much about it.
But maybe like, there's a reason why we didn't bring it up.
But there was like a period of time where it was like I knew more about Doctor Who and I was like, I don't know if I like the Doctor being romantic.
If we want romance. I'm not generally a fan of romance, except I have been lately. And I don't know where that leaves me.
Is it because the romance you're into now is a lot queerer?
Yes.
So, do you have any thoughts on Jack kissing the doctor?
I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, I remember even at the time being like, I mean, if you're gonna do it, that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next up, I listened to the last two specials, because usually we make predictions on what the next doctor is going to be, but we didn't make any predictions.
We didn't?
No, because
We knew. We've seen it. That makes sense.
We could have done like expectation predictions, maybe. Like, how do we think we're going to feel about this season?
That's true, because I would have been wrong about several episodes.
That was interesting. Like, and it felt like a knock-on effect. Your opinion of one thing would change, which would cause another opinion to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It like dominoed, specifically with Adam.
Yeah.
Because you had so many strong opinions about Adam, and then when you watched it again, you're like, oh, never mind.
That dude fucking sucks.
Which made your opinion of that episode in its entirety change, because the one thing you were interested in it no longer was interesting. But we didn't make any predictions, but we did say in the 7th Doctor special that Chudi was going to be the 14th Doctor.
Oh, we got to talk about this.
And then in the Classic Who special, we said Tennant was coming back. And I said, what if Jodie turns into Tennant and then Tennant turns into Chudi? And you thought that was ridiculous. You're like, why would that happen?
I remember at the time thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So,
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I'm still not convinced. That's not dumb.
Yeah. I'm not convinced either.
I mean, no, I'm excited about it, for sure.
It's happening this month.
I remember at the time being like, but that would undercut, like, the new Doctor coming in for, like, little to no reason. Honestly, everything I've seen, like, come out about the new stuff since then has just been really exciting, so.
Yeah, I feel like the 14th Doctor stuff is, like, going to be a buffer before the new season starts.
And
they're calling it season one.
I was just gonna say, that is a bit of information that does totally change it. Of, like, that this is almost kind of like a cap on an era of Doctor Who.
Middle Who.
Oh, no.
Classic Who, Middle Who, and now we're going to have New Who.
What, Middle Who? Middle-aged Who?
The thing is, can we change the name of New Who? Or does it have to be, like, Classic Who, New Who, and then, like...
Newer Who?
Yeah, Modern Who. I don't know.
Postmodern Who.
Dumb.
Okay. I'm not going to fight for it.
I think, send in your suggestions of what we should call this upcoming era.
Because it is a new era.
Yeah. The Disney Who?
Disney Who.
Disney Who.
I don't like it, but I hope that one doesn't stick. But it probably... Oh, it might be that, though. It's quick, somebody think of something better before it sticks.
New Who.
I saw somebody just spell new different.
In you?
No.
I've actually seen New Who spelled that way. N-O-O Who.
Yeah.
New Who. Okay, so do you want to bring companions?
Yes.
All right, so this is debatable.
I hate doing this.
I know.
I hate ranking things because I don't have opinions.
So, we don't have a lot of companions, unless we do. I think we have three very affirmatively companions.
Okay.
And in order of appearance, they are Rose.
Yes.
Adam.
Correct.
And Captain Jack Harkness.
Yes.
Those are three that are for sure.
Yes.
Debatables, Mickey and Jackie.
Okay, listen. Here's what it comes down to when it comes down to defining companions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying companion as in other members of the ensemble cast? Or are you saying companions as in travels on the TARDIS?
Mickey did travel on the TARDIS in the very first episode.
Here's my argument. I think the definition of travels on the TARDIS is actually a bad definition, and we should go with just members of the ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
People who are reoccurring characters.
Yeah, because, like, Benton and Yates didn't really do much TARDIS stuff, but I'd consider them...
Well, I feel like people get into, like, the, but were they a companion? Because they never went anywhere, and it's like, I don't understand. We just mean the other guys. The other people.
But then how far out do you go with that? With, like, recurring characters, like Samalom Glitz or, like, the Paternoster Gang, you know? Do they count?
I feel in my heart that the Paternoster Gang counts, but Samalom Glitz does not, because fuck him.
What is your hatred of Samalom Glitz?
You guys, slimy.
Yes, slimy.
Do you want to rank all of them?
Okay, but, the thing is, do we count Mickey and Jackie?
I feel like I just spent 20 minutes talking about, yes, we do.
Okay, but they are kind of just recurring characters.
Literally just spent 20 minutes talking about how I feel like companions means reoccurring characters.
All right.
Are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you. I don't know if I agree.
Well, then say you disagree.
No. So would you say like Vincent Van Gogh is a companion? He was in two episodes. Winston Churchill?
Being in a two-parter is not a reoccurring character.
No, not in a two-parter. He was in multiple episodes that were spaced apart.
Vincent Van Gogh?
Yeah. He's in his episode, and then he's in that episode where he paints the TARDIS.
I just don't... This isn't a fun, enjoyable conversation. This isn't... It's not... It's not useful.
You know who else comes back?
Who?
Rose's dad.
There's no...
All right, I'll count Mickey and Jackie.
Or don't. I don't care. They care either way.
They, you know, they have been in the TARDIS. Jackie's dad hasn't been in the TARDIS.
I just don't.
Did I say Jackie's dad? Rose's dad. To me, Jackie's
set a criteria and stick to it. I don't care, but I don't care what it is.
Well, we'll conclude them just for this. The characters of season one. The main characters.
All right.
So Rose, Adam, Jack, Mickey, Jackie. How'd you rank them? Who's at the bottom? Let's start there. Do you want me to go first and then you go?
I feel broken because...
Adam's complicated.
Is he at the bottom now?
I think he's at the bottom now.
He's
at the bottom for me. Also, I sometimes forget he exists.
Yeah. Okay. So from the bottom up, Adam.
Yeah.
Mickey.
Ooh.
I know. I hate to do it, but he's kind of whiny in this season. He gets better. I like him. I think he's a good character, but he's just boyfriend right now, and it's kind of sucks. It's boring. Jackie, Captain Jack, Rose. Do I actually like Rose?
I have opinion.
Sometimes.
I like her better in this season than most seasons.
Yes. Sometimes she'll like do a thing and you'll be like, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're like, why are you doing the things you're doing?
Sometimes she does dumb things. Sometimes she doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tempting to put Rose at top just as in, like, you're the most important character who has, like, the most development and screen time, so you would have the number one slot. But then I'm like, do I enjoy Rose as a character more than all those other characters? I don't know.
I would say I do, because of those reasons, because she is the most developed.
Ah.
I mean, I do like Jack, but there's episodes where he's just kind of...
He is just there.
Really the only episode he's, like, great in is the two-parter he's introduced. He kind of not really in Boomtown, and then he's fine in the finale, but he still kind of seems like an afterthought.
Yeah.
So my ranking is pretty much the same, except I probably swap Jackie and Mickey. I put Mickey above Jackie.
I think because Jackie's consistently funnier.
I think Mickey gets more dramatic scenes.
Yeah, but sometimes he beefs them.
I mean, that's fair.
Sometimes he's Jackie like, didn't. Why is it never me? You're like, why are you screaming?
Yeah, but like, he's one of the sole redeeming qualities of Boomtown. Just like, that scene is actually pretty good, and he like broke me with that one line.
Because I will,
yeah. But I mean, Jackie's really good too. But I think Mickey gets a little bit more to do than Jackie does. Not that Jackie's bad, but otherwise, my ranking is the same.
This is part of the reason why I don't like doing rankings, because you're like, this is the ranking, but it's not like the ones at the bottom are bad and the ones at the top are the best.
Right.
Which is what a ranking is supposed to accomplish. So I don't...
That's just what we do every special.
This is our ninth
time. We kind of keep doing it.
We have no option but to continue.
Speaking of rankings, you ready to do our Sweet 10?
Yeah, at the very least, this won't take as long as some of the other doctors. But okay, let's do it.
We'll do a Sweet 10.
I might actually remember most of these.
I know. I'll still give a brief recap. And then after that, we'll take an ad break. And then we'll come back and just kind of talk about 9 in general. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. First up, we have The Long Game.
Then The Long Game is...
The one with the Mighty Jagger thing on the ceiling.
And not the one where...
With the game shows. Right. Okay. It's the one that has Simon Pegg. And it's the one, again, with the Mighty Jagger Hadra Maxinfo. I think I said that right. Oh, and it's also the one with Adam. Yes. And the head shit. Versus Boomtown, which is the episode where the Slitheen comes back. They have dinner. Rose and Mickey have a fight. Jack is there.
This feels complicated. Because they're both...
These are probably two bad. Of the worst episodes.
They're both bad and have redeeming qualities. I would say, though, that The Long Game holds together better as a story. But Boomtown, what it does have is more interesting.
Yes. I would definitely... Okay, here's the thing. Long Game does hold together better as a story, but it's a boring story.
You want to give it to Boomtown because at least the thing that it's doing is interesting?
Yes, it has interesting things in it. Whereas I don't think the Long Game has anything particularly interesting.
It is a very weird comparison to make of, like, this one's better structured but empty, and this one's a mess but has one really good scene and one pretty good idea, and that's it.
I'd say it has two good ideas, but... Because I like the Mickey Rose stuff in it as well.
Yeah.
It just falls apart.
If you want to pass on Boomtown, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm shocked.
The only good thing about The Long Game is Simon Pegg. Everything else is boring.
I just can't believe that Boomtown got to move on around. Wild. What a world we live in.
So next up, we have Father's Day and Dalek.
Wild.
We just went from the two worst to two of the best.
Two best. And I want to pass on Dalek. You disagree. You want to move on Father's Day.
I do. Can I make my case?
I'll allow it.
Dalek is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of just a standard Doctor Who episode until the very end. Father's Day made me cry. Also, just like dad stuff.
Yeah, but do you... you just want to pass it on because it has dad stuff in it.
It's good dad stuff.
If you were going to pick one of these episodes to show to somebody who's never seen Doctor Who before, would you pick Father's Day or would you pick Dalek? Don't lie. If you wanted to showcase the show.
We just had a technical malfunction and the recording stopped, but we're back.
I think we connected it seamlessly.
But here's the thing. I gave like a really good explanation of why we should choose Father's Day, and I don't really want to go over it again.
Answer the question!
Okay, but like, the Doctor's out of character, but in a good way, an interesting way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd show people Dalek over Father's Day. But Father's Day would be right behind it.
So pass on Dalek.
Fine. Sorry, Father's Day. You deserved better.
Father's Day would have beat Boomtown. It would have beat The Long Game.
It's true.
Just the way brackets work.
So next up we have Rose, the first episode with the Autons and the Rose. And the Doctor, and he's there, versus Boomtown.
Rose.
Yeah.
Easy.
There's no shit sounds in it. There is a belch, though. Mickey gets eaten by a trash can. Next up, we have The Unquiet Dead, which is the one with Mark Twain and the psychic and the dead people coming back to life. What? Did I say Mark Twain? Shit. I get Mark Twain and Charles Dickens mixed up so many times.
Because their writing is incredibly similar.
Listen, what is Mark Twain if not the American Charles
Mark
Dickens?
Mark Twain if not Charles Dickens persevering?
Sorry. Charles Dickens, Gwyneth the psychic, played by Gwen Cooper, you know, zombies and shit, and ghosts and aliens. That's The Unquiet Dead, written by Martin Gaddis. Up against The End of the World, which has a flat piece of skin, and Britney Spears, and spiders, bats and GI spiders.
This is a difficult one because I don't have very strong opinions about either one.
Here's the thing I will say, is I was like, I don't super remember The Unquiet and Dead.
And then it was really good.
And we watched it and it was really solid.
Okay, but now? I don't remember that much about The Unquiet Dead.
I remember some of it.
What is the deal with The Unquiet Dead? We talked about it in the podcast about why we were like, this is why it's both good and unmemorable.
It's because it's kind of a standard Doctor Who episode, but like a solid standard Doctor Who episode. It's doing all the beats. Steve Conway, who was on the episode, was talking about, was like, it starts off, we're in, you know, Cardiff, and then we keep it narrows down as it goes.
Mm.
To the point where it's just, like, people in a room.
And the thing I remember about The End of the World is that that's pretty fun.
It's pretty
fun. And that's, like, that's pretty fun. So, Unquiet Dead?
See, now, I don't know. Do we pick fun and memorable, or do we pick solid but forgettable?
Solid but forgettable. It's impossible for me to do. I truly don't have enough of an impression on either of these episodes to have a strong feeling either way.
I mean, the Britney Spears toxic scene...
It's great.
Iconic.
It's so good.
There's nothing iconic in The Unquiet Dead.
There's nothing iconic in The Unquiet Dead.
I mean, he says, what in the Shakespeare was that? Which is pretty good, but not iconic.
The only reason why I want to pass on The Unquiet Dead is I remember having such a strong impression after watching it.
That it was good.
That it was a much more solid episode than I remember it. Like, than I had ever given it credit for. But now, here in the future, I still can't remember anything about this episode again.
I'm willing to move on the Unquiet Dead, remembering what our reactions were. And I do think The End of the World doesn't hold up as well as it used to.
But it does have that one really memorable Britney Spears scene.
And it does have Cassandra, who's memorable. The face of Bo, great set design.
Terrible CGI.
Terrible CGI spiders, yes. And also that ridiculously stupid fan scene.
I almost feel like we should flip a coin. It's so weird, because out of the two, I feel like The Unquiet Dead is probably the stronger episode. Yet somehow, when it comes to, like, contributing to, like...
Doctor Who history?
Yeah. The more things come from The End of the World, because nothing comes from Unquiet Dead.
Well, it kind of starts that...
The rift and...
Yeah, the rift, and also that tone of episode of hanging out with, like, you know, that would continue with, like, the Shakespeare episode or the Vincent Van Gogh episode. That style of episode kind of originates there, I'd say.
Do you have a strong feeling either way?
Not really.
The thing is, I was like, I had a strong feeling for The Unquiet Dead, and then you made your case for The End of the World, and I was like, yeah, okay. And then you were like, but I'm happy to pass on The Unquiet Dead. And now I'm back with...
That's what I'm saying. Memorable or solid? I don't honestly know. I can't figure it out. My gut's saying End of the World now.
Now my gut's saying Unquiet Dead.
All right, let's go with Unquiet Dead. You've said Unquiet Dead twice.
No, do End of the World. No, do Unquiet Dead. No, do End of the World. No, let's come back to it. Let's do the next one. We'll come back to
it. Okay, we'll come back to it. Next up, we have Bad Wolf / The Parting of the Ways.
Yes.
And Aliens of London / World War III. This is
so
very... Well, fuck. I was about to say it's very easy for me, but I actually have a lot of issues with The Parting of the Ways. Then again, I have issues with Aliens of London. Oh, I should describe what they're... Bad Wolf, The Parting of the Ways is the finale with the game shows and the Daleks.
Sorry, so we're counting the two-parters...
As one story. Yes.
That makes a difference because...
I'm counting them like a serial.
There are two-parters that are like, the first part of that was great, and then the second one, not so much.
Which is what I'd say for Bad Wolf. I think The Parting of the Ways is a little sloppy.
I like Bad Wolf.
And then we have Aliens in London, which is the farting aliens, and they're going to blow up Earth for oil.
I mean, Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
Let's pass on Bad Wolf.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
I will say, if it wasn't farting aliens, I would have passed on Aliens in London.
Okay.
But it's got farting aliens, so. Next up, we have Dalek and the Empty Child, The Doctor Dances.
Ooh, the Empty Child.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that's the one with the gas masks and the Are You My Mummy and...
It hurts a little, but
one
it's...
of the greatest episodes of Doctor Who of all time.
Yeah. It hurts a little, but there's no way that the Empty Child doesn't win this whole thing.
Spoilers.
Spoilers!
It's going all the way, baby. Okay, so now we're going to go back to The Unquiet Dead and The End of the World.
I still don't care!
We can't move on until this has been... there's one other bracket we can do, but...
Here's a question that we need to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Can either of these beat Rose?
See, I think Rose could beat The End of the World.
But not The Unquiet Dead?
No, it would.
So it doesn't matter. It's immaterial. Click one of them.
Make a choice. You make a choice.
The Unquiet Dead.
Okay. That's what you... First choice, best choice, you know? All right, Rose of the Unquiet Dead.
Rose.
Okay.
What if we just passed on an episode neither one of us can remember all the way? The Unquiet Dead, sleeper best episode.
Brackets are dumb. Okay, so now we have the...
Empty Child.
I was about to say Bad Wolf and The Parting of the Ways. The Empty Child, The Doctor Dances.
The Empty Child.
Correct. And now we have Rose. Well, I'm surprised Rose kind of made it this far, to be honest.
Rose was on the correct side of the bracket, because it really seemed like there was like a lot of very solid ones on one side and a lot of okay ones on the other. If we were like ranking them, it would probably, like, Dalek and Father's Day would be...
higher up. Yeah. For sure. Like, Empty Child, Doctor Dances, Father's Day, and Dalek are like top three.
Yeah.
But our final two is Rose and the Empty Child, the Doctor Dances. I feel like the first time we've ever been like,
this is easy.
This is easy.
Yeah.
So Rose wins, right?
What the fuck?
Is that not it?
No.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's the Empty Child, the Doctor Dances.
It's the Empty Child.
Man, I hope they let that guy run Doctor Who.
There's a part of me now that's like, how good of an episode is Rose actually?
It's all right. It's pretty good.
Is it better than The Unquiet Dead?
I don't know. I don't remember The Unquiet Dead.
Is it better than The End of the World?
I would say it's better than The End of the World.
Okay.
I think The End of the World is fun, but kind of flimsy. It's got a few great scenes, comedic scenes. It doesn't really have that many.
Yeah, but does Rose?
Yes.
You're right.
Rose has the turn of the earth scene.
You're right.
Rose has the guy who talks about death as his only companion. Rose has him dying at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Rose has Mickey turned into a plastic boy.
used to be why you hated Rose.
With a pizza pan hand. Pizza paddle hand, I mean. Okay. So yeah, that was fairly
pretty straightforward.
We did it. If you want to fight with us,
don't.
Thank you. Please don't. We usually call Christine at this time, but do we want to?
Do you wanna call Christine just to let her know?
Yeah. I don't know if she's like working.
You usually give her a heads up.
Yeah, I did not. This is gonna be a surprise. We might just get her voicemail.
Please leave your message for blah 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 blah
blah blah. Hi. You're probably working or busy or something, but I think you should know that the empty child, the doctor dances, won the bracket.
I'm sure you're shocked by that result.
It was up against Rose in the finale, which I'm surprised Rose got so far, but it's because one of the first ones was Dalek and Father's Day, and that's mean. That's mean. Brackets suck. You're right. Anyway, we miss you. We love you. Say hi to everyone, Ollie, etc. Keep calming her ass on. Say hi to some dogs.
Joe
bye.
Just doxed you.
I doxed you. I covered it up. It's fine. It's not going in the actual episode. Bye. We did it, and now I think it's time to take a break. And we'll be back for our final thoughts on the Ninth Doctor. Ready? Take a break? I'm doing it. Let's go.
Good afternoon.
May we be of assistance, sir?
Yes, I'm looking for a podcast for someone who likes that 1960s headache music.
Don't these podcasters have atrocious taste?
Sir, may I recommend this podcast by Monkeying Around? I guarantee a migraine.
I never heard of Monkeying Around.
You never heard of Monkeying Around?
He's never heard of Monkeying Around.
What does Monkeying Around sound like? I'll take it.
He took it?
He took it.
Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys.
And we're back. Tony, do you
Whoa,
know what time?
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Did I just fully throw you off?
A little bit. Do you know what time it is?
I always... Okay.
I didn't expect you to come in so soon. I don't know.
You shut down like a robot.
Do
you know what time it is?
Me? Yeah. It's time for final thoughts.
Yeah, it is. Final thoughts.
So, Tony...
Are you recovered faster than I expected from that?
I'm a consummate professional. Tony, what are your final thoughts on the Ninth Doctor? The era.
I wish there was more of it. I really, 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 really love the Ninth Doctor. I think he is tragically underrated. I don't know what I think, Joseph.
Tell me about Mr. Eccleston.
He's good.
We're great at making podcasts. I'm so tired. We're almost done. Come on.
All right.
You had so much energy at the top, and then it just all went away.
I can't think of that many words to say.
What did you like about this season?
I like watching this TV show.
What did you not like about this season? Is there anything you would have been like, I would have done this differently?
Yeah.
What?
Written better things.
I would have had less bodily functions.
I would have had more.
Well, you'd have more?
Yeah.
Just have the doctor jizzing everywhere.
That's not what I said.
I don't know what other bodily, like, they got.
There's farts and there's jizz. Those are the only two bodily functions Joe's aware of.
Is there more? To be fair, I was thinking of bodily fluids and not bodily functions. That's my bad. That's on me.
I can't recover. I was trying to throw you off, but now... Why don't you talk about it?
Okay.
I'm fucked myself up.
I really enjoy Eccleston. There are people that skip him. They shouldn't. I think he's great. He's fun. He's funny. I don't think he gets enough credit for being a funny doctor.
I don't think he gets enough credit for being so good. It's very odd that the, like, sort of public opinion is of 9 as being, like, this angsty doctor, and as 10... as being this, like, silly, goofy one, when they're swapped.
Mm-hmm.
Our memories are all wrong.
You guys are wrong. Fix yourselves. He does a lot of good faces. He does some good dances.
But he was able to do that and be, like, very dramatic at the same time.
Do you think it's because his dramatic is more legitimately dramatic, whereas I feel like Tennant sometimes is just, like, emo dramatic? Like, Hot Topic dramatic.
No, I think Tennant as a... Like, I think his doctor is less forthcoming, like, about his emotions than the Ninth Doctor. And so I think people have a tendency to, like, take him at his word when he's full of shit. I think that's part of it. This is not like a, oh, this is like a fandom thing of this perception. This perception is also canon. When the doctor sends Rose away with 10-2 and he's like, look at him. He's a mess. he's like war-torn and angry, just like me when you met me. And it's like, you're goofy as shit. So it's almost not fair to say it's like an unfair perception because like in the show,
he's definitely dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
But he's so good at it.
He just doesn't get enough credit for being very funny. That's all.
I agree. I'll say this. This season is a fairly strong season. I feel like it's got some great episodes. It has some.
But you know what surprises me? What's crazy is that it's establishing what the show is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go back and you watch the season and you're like, yeah, that's it. Like, that's Doctor Who. It's doing it.
You know what's weird to me, though? The weaker episodes are written by RTD.
Why is that weird to you?
I don't know. Every single writer for this season that's not RTD pulled out a great episode.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because RTD had to write more, whereas all the rest of them were just writing the ones they've been wanting to write the entire wilderness years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, like, show running is its own separate skill. That, like, I feel like there's a huge difference between Moffat as a...
writer, you know, and a showrunner?
A writer and a showrunner. Yeah.
I think he's a better writer than he is a showrunner. I think his first season is fantastic.
I think RTD's a better showrunner than he's a writer.
That's why they work so well together.
That's kind of the thing. I think it kind of is. The things that RTD is interested in are, like, arcs and vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that you want to keep track of. When I say arcs, I specifically mean character arcs. I don't mean...
the complicated stuff Moffat does.
And then what Moffat is interested in is very much not... I feel like not so much the character arcs. I don't know. Not that he's not interested in them, but I feel like the in-between...
he does them differently, I think.
Yeah. Where, like, it's not like the growing part that he's interested in. It's like, and now... I feel like there's a lot of times where Moffat wrote something where, like, character growth happened off-screen. And he was like, and now it's different. And I'm like, that's the part I wanted to see.
I think Moffat changed the focus from being character growth of the companions to character growth of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And
that's definitely fair.
And Missy, even the Master.
Yeah. But I think he's more interested in, like, structure and that kind of thing. And it's, they're best when they're working together. I mean, that's just me saying words. That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah. I think we've said our final thoughts on Mr. Eccleston. Thank you for your service. It's a great season. I wish you had done more. I understand why you didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to do predictions on the 10th Doctor because we know what's going to happen. I mean, do you think anything's going to change about your perception of the 10th Doctor?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought so previously, but now having gone through this first season, I guess it might.
Do you think it'll hold up or do you think it'll be wobblier?
I think it'll hold up. Part of the difference about, like, going through this a second time is, like, the first time I was going through it, I was very much, like, Tumblr fandom, like, involved, which, like, very much colors your, like, opinions and experiences, especially when you're, like, 16, 17.
Right. So now you'll be coming at it with your own opinions.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, pop culture consensus.
Yeah. I say that, but we did our, like, sweet 16, our sweet 10, and I'm pretty sure ranked it via pop culture consensus, but...
I think Boomtown's rated a little higher than we rated it, so... I just think the ending...
Boomtown's rated higher than we rated it?
Yeah. Wow. I think so. People like Boomtown.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
But it's also not good.
Yeah. I'll say, I think Boomtown is not as good as people remember it. Because it has really good ideas, and you remember those ideas.
This is the
and
thing.
You forget everything about it.
This is the good thing about television, and, like, watching it and then, like, remembering it, is that, like, there are scenes that stand out. But then, like, a year later, all you really remember is, like, oh, that scene was amazing. That episode was great. And then you watch it, and you're like, this episode is a mess, but that scene is great. There's stuff that stands out and, like, sticks with you, and it's not necessarily stuff that's a part of, like, the best episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are really good episodes, like The Unquiet Dead, that then later you're like, I have no idea what happened in that episode. And I remember talking so much about how it was better than I remembered. I don't understand. I don't understand what makes things sort of...
stick and unstick. Yeah. You were talking so eloquently, and then I just said the dumbest shit. Stick and unstick!
What does make things stick and unstick?
I think I'm going to appreciate episodes a bit better that I didn't quite enjoy before because I'll be coming at them with more of a handle on it. But I think there's going to be some episodes that I enjoyed that I'm going to be like, yeah, this isn't as good as I remember.
Why do you think that?
Because it happened this season.
Oh.
So that's my prediction. That's going to happen again.
All right.
So do you have any predictions for the 14th Doctor, aka 10-3?
I don't know. I mean, clearly I am in no shape to make predictions. After telling you that David Tennant being the 14th Doctor was dumb.
He is, though. He's the 14th Doctor. We said we are not going to... We are not going to call him the 14th Doctor. Chudikov was the 14th Doctor. And now I'm like, yeah, he's the 14th Doctor. It's fine.
It's just, here's the thing. Nothing matters. It doesn't. It's too hard to care that much about anything.
I just came up with a wild prediction.
All right, let's hear it.
So, Tales of the TARDIS dropped.
Oh my God. So cute. Good. I cried a lot. Good.
And they kind of just went, you know what? 6 and 7 continue on.
They go have adventures.
Their adventures. What if they show up at some point? It is the 60th after all. What if they physically show up?
Why not?
Why not? Let's see it. And then they get their own spinoffs.
Whatever you predict now, I just have to be like, might happen.
Would you watch a 6th Doctor spinoff?
Yes.
Would you watch a 7th Doctor spinoff?
Yes.
Hell yes.
Oh my God. Their Tales from the TARDIS
TARDIS.
Okay, that's fine. It was...
so fucking good.
It was insane how good it was, because I feel like everybody else's was like, here's a little thing for the fans about...
It's good. It's emotional.
It was cute. Their scenes were like...
This is a show.
This is a... Yes. Both of them are giving a performance and a half, and it's wild.
The others were like, here's a little coda for these characters. And that one was like, I want more of this.
Yes, this forever.
Yeah. What happened to these characters? Jamie and Zoe get their memories back. Oh, that's a nice little wrap it up.
I'm so relieved.
I am too. All of them were sort of like that. Oh, here's what's happened to them. Here's what's happened to them. That's good. And like 6 and Perry was like, oh, we get to see them be cute together.
They actually like each other.
And it's all like wrap ups. The 7th and Ace... Is that a little bit, but in a darker way?
Yeah.
Of like acknowledging the fucked up shit that happened, but then like, let's keep going. And that's so good and so fun. Oh God, I want more of it. Just give us more of 7 and Ace. Please. Please. That's my 14th Doctor prediction. They're going to show up and get a spinoff. How about that?
The 7 and Ace show.
Yeah. Ugh. Wicked. So, before we go, I've changed up the schedule a little bit. We're going to go to a monthly schedule to get us through the holidays. I think we're going to go back full-time around March. So, but next month, we were going to do a special episode, but we're just going to go ahead and jump into 10 next month. We're going to do the Christmas Invasion for Christmas. And then we're going to come back in January for an interview with a Doctor Who writer / editor of comic books, Richard Starkings. He's really cool. He's local to us, and he frequents the comic book store I work at. So he is excited to be on the show, and we're excited to have him.
Just an update. Christine is excited that the Empty Child won. She was driving.
Those pizzas won't deliver themselves. And so that's it. And then in February, we'll get back to Tenet and then on as usual. Before we go, I'd like to personally thank our Patreon patrons. We've got Ellie A. Check them out at twitter.com/Batisier, BATICER. Steve Conway, twitter.com/Steve Conway. I'm saying Twitter, I guess it's X, but whatever. He's also been on the podcast. He's great. Brenna Duncan, youtube.com/TheBenPodcast. Actually, can you say that one? It's with an I, and I can't pronounce my E's and I's. youtube.com/TheBenPodcast. That's BIN. Thank you.
Yeah.
The ESO Network, our podcast network, esonetwork.com. Ray Friesen, rayfriesen.com, friend and frequent guest on the show. Matt Golden, matthewgolden.net.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden.
Hallie Larson, twitter.com/Hallie_9000. Also a former guest on this show. Melissa, malicerewatchesdoctorwho.tumblr.com. Also a former guest on this show. Nicole Mazza, you can check out her podcast, Terminus, a Doctor Who podcast, at terminus.libsyn.com. Also a former guest on this show. All of our patrons are guests on the show. Become a patron and maybe you'll be a guest on the show.
Honestly, it happens
more often than you'd think. Jason Perry, Lily, which is bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. Ian McClain, Rachel S., Hazel Twilight, who has adventuresinclassictime.tumblr.com, and Carrie Varner, patreon.com/Carrie Varner, and that's CarrieVarner. N-E-R.
She's an artist. She has a lot of very cool fandom pieces.
Including Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah.
There's a Cyberman and stuff like that. So, yeah, become a Patreon. If we get to $100, we're going to do a bonus episode every month. Guaranteed. We're very close. Mm-hmm. Very close. So, please, become a patron. And we'll shout your name out in these episodes. If you liked this episode, check out more on WatchYourAssLon.com. You can also find our podcast, our Patreon, and more at Linktree/Watchathon. And I want to give a special shout out to Vincent Yale for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
Check out more of their music at vincentyale.bandcamp.com. And tune in next month when we talk about the Christmas Invasion with Vincent Yale and my dad, Brad Heath.
Oh, because your dad loves David Tennant.
Yeah. We had him on for Father's Day because it was Father's Day. We're not bringing him back for when Rose's dad comes back. We're just bringing him back for the very first one because he loves Tennant. Like,
so much.
Yeah, like, he's into Tennant. Like, into Tennant. He wants to fuck Tennant. You think my dad's okay with me saying that on the podcast?
You've said worse things about your dad in public.
That's true. So until next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
It's been fantastic.
Oh, what was that?
And you know what? So have we. No? Scrunching up your face.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
All right, bye.
I'm the doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.